Welcome to the Young Grit Podcast for young entrepreneurs and their families, where we tell stories and lessons learned from the world's top leaders when they were kids. We're your hosts. I'm Scott.
And this is Trav.
We're best buds, and we've served millions of kids in our businesses. And we're on a quest to help young entrepreneurs succeed. Today's podcast was brought to you by MyFirstSale.com. If you want to give your kids or grandkids a gift they will fall in love with, give them a gift card to launch their business. Give them confidence, delayed gratification, hard work, perseverance, budgeting, saving, investing. All these great lessons are learned when a kid can launch their own business. It's a gift that will last a lifetime. Go to MyFirstSale.com, click on sponsor in the menu bar, and you can sponsor a kid that you know today. Welcome to the next episode. The show notes, transcript, and kid business tips for the episode are located at MyFirstSale.com/123. All right, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Young Grit Podcast. I am your host, Scott Donnell. I've got Travis Adams, my co-host, with me. We are super excited today. Travis, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I've got a hot cup of coffee with my Laird Hamilton specialty coffee creamer. And that's a free plug for Laird Hamilton Superfoods. And we're doing good. Glad to have Franco today.
Yeah, we got Franco Lombardo today, one of our friends. He is an incredible entrepreneur. I've known him through a few of our networks, and we just had to have him on the podcast. He's a brilliant man, and he's got some fun stories to share today, and you guys are going to love it. We're going to talk about Veritage, his childhood businesses, and family, and a bunch of other fun stuff. So, Franco, welcome to the podcast.
Scott, Travis, it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're going to start out with some pepper questions. You ready for this?
Go.
Favorite ice cream?
Ooh, chocolate vanilla.
Chocolate and vanilla, there you go. Okay, superhero. Who is your go-to superhero?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, all right. She's coming up more and more in these
she
conversations.
She is.
She's a rock star. I love it. Gal Gadot, one of my favorite actresses in the world anyway. Okay, if you could meet anybody, dead or alive, and have lunch, who would it be?
JFK.
Why?
I just love what he stood for. I love his level of integrity and having to do the right thing. And I frankly was very pissed off when he got killed.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And what I love about him was he wasn't perfect. You know, he was a human being that had his indiscretions, and yet he was an incredible leader.
Yeah.
You know, so what I love about him is we can be leaders and not have to be perfect.
Yeah, that's a good word. No one's perfect. In fact, we all
newsflash, nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
Including us three, especially.
We're probably where we are today after all of our failures anyway. That's what makes who we are.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, those are good. Are you a comic book or a cartoon?
I'm a cartoon guy. Yeah. So,
favorite cartoon of all time?
Wacky Races.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
That's right. Yeah, Wacky Races was my absolute, you know, what was it? Gorgeous George and Penelope Perfect. And then there was Muttley, you know, he was awesome. I loved him.
That's amazing.
He was great. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, tell us, this is my favorite thing that we do, but tell us what you do if you were explained to a kid. What do you do?
Yeah, the best way to describe it is I work with multi-generational family-owned businesses, and I help the human beings in those families play nice with each other so they can make better ownership and business decisions.
Got it. You help generations work together and understand money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, one of the things that happens, Scott, is societally we're taught and we focus on the how of money. How do we make it? How do we invest it? You know, how do we behave with it charitably? But rarely do we consider, why do I do what I do with money? How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time in that area. And that's some, you know, that's, you know, my own personal journey led me to that, you know. And for all you kids listening, you know, my wealthiest client, who is a multi-billionaire, his favorite line is, follow your passion and your pension will follow.
That's good. Follow your passion and your pension will follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell kid, what are, to all the kids listening, what's a pension?
A pension is a boatload of money. Money. Show me the money.
Okay, good. Pension is long-term money that you make while you're sleeping. That's a good way to explain it. Yep. Very cool. Okay, so before we get into this, because I think today we wanted to discuss a lot about money, right? We want to talk about, how do you think about money? What are the mindsets of money? What is the right way to treat money? I think a lot of kids have this elevated view of money, that it's like the end all be all to get whatever they want kind of a thing. But really, if you want to be truly successful in life, there are certain ways you should view and not view money. So I think that's a great conversation for us to go in today, and especially when it relates to family. So, but before we get there, what was your first business when you were a kid? What was your first sale? What was the first thing you remember having done when you were a kid?
I was a trader. You know, I would trade. I was a big collector of Lima train models and Solito tanks. And I would trade.
You're an asset guy.
I was an asset gatherer, asset trader. That's what I would do, right? And then I got into, so my parents' plans for me were always, my mother wanted me to be an orthopedic surgeon. My dad wanted me to be a vet. And I went to university for that stuff. And when my father passed away, I realized I didn't want to do that. It was the first time I got honest with myself. I thought, I don't want to do this. I'm doing it for them. Not that parents' guidance and wisdom is a bad thing. What I'm suggesting is follow your heart, follow what you want to do. And I got into wealth management, became very successful. So managed money for very, very wealthy families. And then one day I was seeing my accountant, and I was very arrogant and self-centered back then. And I remember telling my accountant, you know, hey, look how magnificent I am. Look at all the money that I'm making. Look at all the things that I've got. You know, on a scale of one to 100, you know, how successful am I? Like, am I, what, 92, 95, 98% of success? And he very calmly looks at me and he's staring his teacup and, you know, taps the spoon with tip, tip. And he goes, see, this is actually, you're at about 2% of your capacity.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. I was dumbfounded and I was angry, but I didn't share that because at the time I didn't have the emotional integrity back then. So I just sort of smiled and went, that's nice. And I went on a business trip and I came back and I'm sitting in this beautiful ocean view home that I owned at the time, spectacular view, massive wine cellar downstairs, right? And I realized that I was incredibly unhappy. You know, I had all of these things, these possessions, and I was empty and frankly meaningless and arrogant. And I got what he meant. And I realized that it wasn't about possessions. It was about meaning and impact and influence.
Wow.
And that pivoted me to start to work with a coach who I still work with to this day. I've been working with my coach, Dov Barron. He's a guy you got to get on your show. Okay. So Dov Barron has been my personal coach for about 16 years now. Wow. I would not be who I am had it not been for him.
I love it. So someone says one thing about, hey, you're at 2% of your capacity. You have so much to do here and it takes a while to sink in and you become a very different person on a very different trajectory and you get the right coaching. I think there's two really good bits of information there that for kids, especially listening in, having the right coaches and mentors to take you along the path and having little pivotal moments in your life, little comments that change things for you. I had the same thing happen. I remember going to college and I got a D on my first test and I sat with one of my mentors, one of my professors, and he just looked at me and he goes, you know, that's surprising. I thought you'd be the top kid in the whole school. That's all he said. And I went home and I went, yeah, I should be the top kid in the whole school. And I went on to get a 4.0 in the President's Cup, and it led me into a full ride master's degree in entrepreneurship and led me to where I am today. Little comments in life from a good mentor and a good friend that, that cares about you and loves you changes your life. So that's
someone that cares enough about you to speak the truth to you.
Yep.
Even though it may piss you off or hurt you.
Yeah.
Pivotal.
Yeah. There's an old proverb.
I'm going to grab my battery real quick. You take over for a second.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's an old proverb you probably heard of, Franco, that said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So, you know, when you have a real friend is able to, in those moments, be candid with you, you know, and really help you, even though you didn't like to hear it, right? And I also love, you know, because Scott and I, you know, we went to our MBA school together, and we hear Jeff Sandover say, you know, who's, you know, very successful, very wealthy, you know, wealthy with a B. Just, you know, at the end of the day, a big old pile of money is just a big old pile of money. And it doesn't bring you happiness. And I'd love to hear maybe, you know, some statistics. I've heard if you make over north of $75,000 at that point, it doesn't make you any happier. Do you know any stats around that?
I don't know any specific stats, but I've heard it, right? And you know what I've learned, you know, I'll share another story with you guys. You know, there's a number of folks in my space that do similar work, right? So no one does exactly what I do. But there's a couple folks, you know, and I remember, this is another lesson for the kids. I remember one of these individuals that I did some work with. So I really got to know this individual. I really knew who they are and how they operate, not who they portray to be, is the difference. Mm-hmm. And this individual got this award. And I thought, I was really pissed off. You know, this person got recognized. Look at all the work I'm doing and I'm not getting recognized. And I went to Dob and I said, Dob, what's this about? And he says, well, what are you really seeking? I said, well, I'm seeking to be recognized. Look at the great work I'm doing. And he said something that was interesting. He says, well, don't you see the value in the work you do every time you coach? And I went, yeah, I get recognition instantly. Every time I have a great session with a client. And I don't need to brag about that. And he said, it's our silent victories that matter the most. Mm. We don't need to share those with the world, right? And then I remember talking to, you know, Scott, you and I are in the strategic coach program, right? And it's all about expansion. And I was talking to Dov about, I want to grow 10X. And he says, well, in what? You know, the obvious is, well, money. And he said, well, there's more things like that. And he says, well, what if you 10X your impact? I thought, now that's a cool concept. So now I track my impact on a daily basis. What impact did I have today?
Wow. So how did you, Franco? So you were telling your story about, you didn't want to be a vet. And then you were a wealth manager and then you were still unhappy. So how, because we talk a lot about with our kids and our kid entrepreneurs, like, and Scott talks about this all the time is, you know, find your passion, what you love to do, find and ask others what you're good at, and then find a need in the world. If you can do that, you can come with a great business and use your God-given talents to influence and care for and give back to the world. So how did you get to the path? I'm assuming you're doing now what you love to do. How did you get there? And what would be interesting for kids to know about that story?
Sure. So the first thing is I've been doing this for now coming on 15 years, and I haven't worked a day in 15 years. Okay, let me state that piece. So how I got here, I remember I got invited to this event. I still don't know who invited me, okay? So I got invited to this event. There's a whole bunch of Canada and the US's wealthiest families at the event, family businesses. There is the who is who in the, call it, advisors to these families from a governance, you know, from a business succession perspective. And there's a whole bunch of really smart academics and me. And I heard this gentleman speak, and I loved what he had to say. And I just finished my first book called Life After Wealth, When Is Enough Enough? And I gave him, I said, Ron, really appreciate it. You know, really love what he had to say. I gave him the book, didn't think anything of it. He's like one of these really wealthy guys, like, you know, they're on a pedestal, right? And about 6 months later, I get a call from this young woman saying, we'd like to order 12 books. And I went, oh my God, that's such a big order, right? And I go, so how'd you hear about it? She goes, well, Mr. X. I said, oh, let him know what to be his city if he wants to meet. She says, okay, let me talk to his EA. So I get a call from Gloria, his EA at the time. She says, well, Mr. So-and-so would like to know what it will cost to hire you. I said, it's very flattering. For what? She says, he's not sure yet. I said, well, let me meet him. See if, you know, I can add value. So anyway, so I met him, presented a report to him, and I gave him the report, and I met him in San Diego to go over with him. And he said to me, after he read, he says, no one has ever been this honest with me. His family is still a client 15 years later.
Wow.
Right. And I remember going to my partners at the time, and they're saying, you know, hey, you know, let's do more work together. You know, you can do the emotional behavioral side of money. We'll sell the product. And I said to them, that's not aligned with my values. I can't be in someone's head and then pitching them a product. I need to do one or the other. So I walked away from a multi-million dollar practice and decided to start from zero.
Wow.
So my business for the first 5 or 6 years was bleeding edge. I was hemorrhaging cash,
yeah,
but I was following my passion.
Wow. Did you hear that, kids? I love Henry Cloud's definition. I think I've mentioned this, is of integrity, is having the courage to deal responsibly with reality. And I love just how in that moment you said, you know what, you know, it's going to take a lot of courage. And you knew there was a conflict of interest and you just said, hey, I'm going to do it. And I'm assuming, you know, the pension has followed your passion, hopefully.
Yeah. You know, it's more than that. You know, I always thought that the pension mattered, but what I'm realizing is it's relationships and impact. You know, I got to spend the day yesterday, about part of the day, with a 75-year-old client, very successful entrepreneur, who's transitioned the business over to his kids, and I helped him find his purpose. Like, that was so incredibly rewarding, you know? I helped another young man, seventh generation family member, understand why he's angry at his dad and what's in the way of that relationship. Like, you know, that's cool. That's really cool. That's a lot better than, hey, you know, I'm going to get you another 2% on your money.
Right. Right.
You know.
And the impact not only on him, but for generations to come, because, you know, we all are passed down things from our parents, right? Both positive and negative. So, you know, my wife and I talk all the time about, like, hey, what are the things we don't want to pass on to our kids? Because those things are very much alive in me, you know, and in her. And so I love that you get to process some of those things, because it's not just, yeah, that client, it's his kids and his kids' kids. And, you know, you're impacting multiple generations.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, as I was doing work with my coach, Dog, one of the things that I realized, I sort of suspected this, but I didn't really get it until I really dug deep with him, is that as a child, I never felt safe. The only place I felt safe was playing rugby with my teammates, right? So I realized that I wanted to create safety in the world. So my personal purpose is I want to create a safer world. And the medium that I choose to do it through is through family-owned businesses. Because like you said, Travis, if they feel safe with themselves, their businesses will thrive, their employees will thrive, their supplies will thrive, and together we'll create a safer world. So what I'm realizing, thanks to another friend of mine that you may want to have on the podcast, a guy by the name of Jamie Mustard, who wrote a book called The Iconist. Jamie said to me, he says, you're not in the family business succession business. He says, you're in the social change business. And I went, you're right.
Wow. Incredible.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Kids, you know, it's, and there's so many kids today that it's in similar situations where they don't have a safe home, or they don't have, you know,
or they're bullied.
So we can either take what happened to us and say, that's who we are. Or we get to say, that's what happened to me. How am I going to use this, what happened to me, as fuel to do good?
Every breakthrough in my life came at the heels of a difficult situation, of pain, of hurt, of loss. And then my life, if you choose the right mindset and you choose to use it as fuel to learn, right? You either win or you learn, not win or lose. Like,
yeah,
this doesn't define who you are. You can make this the best learning experience of your life to change your future for good. And if you have that mindset, especially as a young person, right? How many times have young people been bought into this idea that that is who they are for the rest of their lives? And then they're just stuck behind the eight ball and as a victim, or I'll never fix this. It's never going to get better for me. There's no hope. You know, that's not true. That's a lie. There is hope and there is opportunity available. And I know that there are thousands of kids listening to this right now that can identify. I was one of them. You know, you were one of them. So it's very, very important to think about life in terms of how you want to live your life, and the things that happen to you can actually be the fuel to make you stronger, like you said, Franco. So that's a very, very good word. Thank you for sharing that.
Welcome.
All right, I want to ask you this, okay? Because every kid we talk to, and we've helped thousands upon thousands of kids launch businesses, and we ask them, why are you doing this? And we get a million answers, but the biggest one is, I want to make money, okay? So that's not a bad thing. I don't think wanting to make money is not a bad thing in and of itself, especially if you don't have any as a kid.
Yeah. Okay?
It's a great thing to have money, to be able to use it to buy something that you want. Supply, demand, earn it, get it. I think that's a great way to teach kids how to manage money, earn things by creating value. I think that's brilliant. That's a great way to make kids into productive adults. But what are some of the mindsets that you've found in your coaching, all your years of coaching, and you've coached some of the biggest people on earth, okay? Some of the most wealthiest families in the world, okay? We might be able to get into that here in a little bit too. The kids would want to know, like, how wealthy? But what are some of the things you've seen where people misstep? Like, what are some of the things where, okay, if you think this way about money, here's what's going to happen to you?
Yep.
Okay, so I created a tool, and I'll share with you how I came about it. I remember I'd gone from my wealth management business. You know, I was about 2 years into Veritage, and I'm at a grocery store, and I'm paying for some groceries. And I had a $20 bill, and I went, I've worked really hard for that $20. Like, it landed then, because I wasn't making money. There was no money coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And there was a lot going out, right? And I went, wow, like I just oh my God. And it just sunk in. I said, how do I feel about this? And I created a concept called the money motto, MOTTO. And the money motto is an individual subconscious belief about money. Okay, so the event that occurred for me was I was bullied. Okay, so here's a great tool for kids to use. It's my favorite tool I use with my clients. Okay, so it's called the awareness tool. So you start with the event. So the event was, I was bullied. The thought about myself was, there's something wrong with me. The feeling was anger, shame, despair. The belief is, I don't fit in. So subconsciously, when I got into the wealth management business, I made the decision, if I make a boatload of money, then I'll fit in and people will love me. Because not fitting in meant I wasn't loved.
Yep.
So my money motto became, at the time, money allows me to fit in. Hence the nice house, the nice wine cellar, the watches, the ties. I had 300 ties at one point. I had a tie a day. Like, why? Because it allowed me to fit in. Ties.
I didn't wear a tie.
Yeah. You know, I need to save them, because one day they're going to come back. Just like vinyl records, right?
That's right. Then you can trade again, right?
Exactly. And they'll be worth a lot. Right. So I realized that the behavior that was driving everything was based on my belief that I don't fit in.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And as I tell my clients, everything we do as a human being, we do for a reason. What we say, how we say it, the tone we say it, when we say it, it's based on a reason. And here's the thing. Most of us have no idea what that reason is.
Yep.
It's either based on our story or conditioning of the past, or our purpose, desire to contribute, or what I call safe space. So we don't know what this is. So my money model was money allows me to fit in. So I will share some money models of clients. So I have a client of mine worth over $1 billion, and he was doing some tax planning for his kids. And he decided that part of the tax planning was he was going to transfer $5 million to his daughter, who was in her 30s. And what a lot of people don't realize is that being wealthy is difficult. It's emotionally hard. It's a very lonely place because people, wealthy people, perceive that all others just want them for their money, their connections, and their resources. They are human beings like all of us. And a number of them, particularly the younger generation of wealthy families, feel shame and guilt because they haven't done anything to earn it. So there's a lot of confusion going on there. Okay, so when you see a wealthy person, don't assume that life is easy. They're human beings like all of us, and they got their stuff like all of us. They can just buy more things. That's all it is.
And buying more things doesn't solve much.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay, so because here I was buying a whole bunch of wine, trying to numb the feeling of not fitting in. So I want to circle back to the awareness tool. What's important is that the gateway to understanding yourself, the gateway to making a lot of money, is know yourself. And the way to know yourself, the doorway is through your feelings. You see, we've been conditioned that it's not okay to express our feelings. Big boys don't cry. Don't be a sissy. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. When we feel, we connect with who we are and we connect with others. You know, Scott, I'm sure you and Travis have been across a business deal where it looks great on paper, but you go, something doesn't feel right. That's the kind of thing you want to harness. Okay. So don't numb your feelings.
And there's also, like you said, Franco, you know, when you're able to express your feelings, be vulnerable, there's a lot more connection, intimacy, friendship, I'm assuming, with all the people around you, right?
Absolutely.
My wife's an amazing counselor, and you know, I hit the jackpot already. And so my kids are 5 and they're sharing feelings right now that I didn't share until I was like 29. You know,
that's awesome. That's so awesome.
So, yeah. I love that. I've gotten to see it firsthand, you know, in our family and, you know, so that's great.
Yeah. I won't tell you who we were talking about, but there is a very famous entrepreneur in the world right now that everyone's talking about. And my friend is good friends with him. And he said this about the guy. He said, I hope he gets, it's a company that went to hundreds of billions of dollars. He said, I hope he gets what he's striving after soon so that he can realize that he's just trying to earn his dad's love and he can get over it. Mm. And it was fascinating when he said this. He's this guy's friend. And I just thought about that. And I'm like, wow. We all have motivations that are healthy or unhealthy. Honestly, money is sort of like what we think about. It all kind of gravitates toward our view of money. It really does.
Scott, money is the greatest addiction out there. So success. You know, this is Dov's quote, not mine. Where's the best place to hide your insecurities? Behind your success and behind money.
Wow. That's so helpful. Well, man, and for kids just to hear this, you know, right now and understand that money is a great tool. It can be a great
positive. It's a resource. Influence. It's a resource, yeah. Period.
But if money's the ultimate thing, or if our first love is money, it can crumble and lead to really bad things, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
What else? Is there anything else, Franco, that you would love to talk to kids about? Like, how should they view money now as a kid? Because in their mind, they're like, you know, my dad or my mom goes to work. And they have to make money, and that puts food on the table, and that might help me, you know, with a car or school later. Like, they think about the buy, the sell, like, okay, it connects. But beyond that, what is the right way a kid should think about money itself?
Well, I think the one of the things that they want to consider is to ask themselves, why do I behave with money the way I behave? Like ask themselves, you know, why did I spend that? Why did I buy that? You know, why am I hoarding? Because there's two fundamental mindsets around money. There's either the abundance mindset or the scarcity mindset. The abundance is there's lots to go around, and the scarcity is there's not enough to go around.
Mm.
So, you know, the three of us are abundance thinkers because, you know, we've created abundant businesses. You know, we believe that, and by the way, kids, collaboration is key. You know, find people you trust and collaborate. You know, find an idea and a concept and make the concept and the idea the most important thing, and money will follow. Right? That's follow your passion. Don't focus on the money. Focus on how you can serve, how you can make a difference. Figure out what is a problem that you have, create a solution because there's other people that have that same problem. And you monetize that. Right? Problem that I had was I didn't feel safe. So I help really wealthy families feel safe with each other. Right? So your wound, what happened to you, could make you a lot of money. If you go and heal the wound and use that wound as fuel to serve.
That's okay? Good. That's
so beautiful. So because I'm really geeky about this stuff, I did some research and I had a question I wanted to answer. And the question was really simple. The question is there connection or correlation between how we treat our money, how we do money and how we feel about it, and how we treat our relationships, how we do relationships, and how we feel about relationships? What do you think the correlation is? You're both finance smart guys. What's the correlation?
Strong.
It's a correlation of one. So that means, kids, how we do one, we do the other.
Wow.
So everybody has a very specific money model, but it'll fall into one of these four categories. The first one, and see if you recognize yourselves, gentlemen, on this one. The first one's the investor. They invest their time. They invest their money. They know that one day they'll get a return. The flip side of that is the spender. They spend their money and they emotionally spend their relationships. They drain them. They take. There's a subcategory to that, which is the self-spender. So they give away of themselves. They give away their resources. They give away their time. They give away their money. And they say they're doing it for others, but in reality, they're a martyr. Because there's nothing left for them. You know, why do you think on the plane they say, put your mask on first?
Right.
Right.
Right. I can't give you water from an empty cup. I can love you if I don't love myself. I can have compassion if I don't have compassion for myself, and so forth. The third category is the value or respect. This is the one that really treasures and appreciates their things, and they look after them. They look after their possessions. They look after their businesses. They look after their relationships. And the fourth category is the fear, the one that is afraid. They're the one that believe they don't deserve or are unworthy of money or relationships.
So to just repeat those, you've got the investor, the spender,
the valuer.
Value and the fear base.
And the fear, yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, and this is something I'd love to do with you guys because I did this project with the Certified Accountant Society here in Canada, and they dropped it because of budgetary reasons. But we actually had a program that kids could go on school and log in and come up with their category.
Wow.
So if you guys want to do it together, gladly do it with you.
We've got a project. We've got a project coming up. We will gladly get your help on.
Very fun. Yeah, we have a project where we were going to teach kids about mindsets about money. And that would be a great one. And we're going to put it in an app for free for people and just help
there you
kids
go.
Learn.
Yep.
Which one are you? It helps your life. It sets you on a trajectory. I love that thinking.
Because how cool would it be? I'm going to go spend money. Oh, let me see. Oh, yeah, I'm this. Stop. That'd be awesome. That'd be so awesome, right?
Know thyself. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right?
Man,
kids, if you haven't realized it yet, money is a tool. And money can be great and money can ruin you. It's not the money. It's yourself. You are the person you need to know. Money is not the thing you need to know. You are the person you need to know. What Franco was talking about earlier was he was talking about what really matters in life, and it's relationships and it's impact and it's love. Our close mentor, Travis, who's one of my best buddies forever, one of our mentors, Jeff Sandifer, said, life's about two things. How did you love people and who loved you? That's as simple as it gets. And I think all these other things fall in line under that, accurately or inaccurately based on that. So if you're a kid wondering, you know, how are you going to make a million? How am I going to become a millionaire? And if that's all you're thinking about all day, every day, right? You might want to think about, how can I be a great friend? How can I serve my friends? How, you know, who loves me? Who is my community? Who do I want to be with? Because guess what? You become the closest five people you grow up with anyway. And that affects more of your money and your wealth and your family and your friends and your health than anything else. So if you didn't get it, Franco's a genius, kids. He just hit it on the knob. And I know we're hitting our time limit because we just got the 38 minute, but thank you, Franco. This is like, we don't want to add any more information because this is perfect bite size for kids to think about. And I want to leave them on that note. Is there any last thing you want to tell kids and their families listening right now?
Yeah, I just want to leave you with a quote. Is what you seek externally, you lack internally.
Ooh.
So in other words, what you look...
We're going to let that sink in. Yeah, say it again.
So what you seek externally, you lack internally. So if you're seeking, as I was, to fit in out there, what I was missing was I wasn't fitting in with myself. If I'm looking for, as I was, validation out there by some award, what I'm missing is I'm not seeing the value that I bring. I'm not validating my work. I don't need someone to tell me I do good. I know I do good. I get to see it every day.
Yeah. Wow. Well said. Well said, Franco.
Thank you, Franco. Awesome.
All right, gentlemen, for having me on the show. What an honor and a treat.
Yeah, this has been wonderful. Kids, if you're listening into this right now, how can they hear more about you or learn more about you, Franco? What's the best way for them to connect?
The best way is to the website, which is obviously www.veritage.ca.
Veritage.ca. That's the site where you can get to know Franco, look at his different tools, and get to know his life a little bit more, kids and families. Also, the entrepreneurs listening are all the parents. So,
I'm going to put this out there. For the first three that want to reach out to my EA, I will spend time with them and mentor them.
Wow.
They can reach out to that. They can reach out to my at admin@veritage.ca. Let them know they heard me on the show and what the offers. The first three will get me.
I love it. Oh my goodness, kids. There's your call to action. Thank you so much, Franco. Just mentioned that you heard him from the Young Grit podcast, and I cannot wait for those connections. So again, thanks, Franco. Thanks, Trav. And thanks everyone for listening. We will catch you next time on the next episode of Young Grit.
Today's podcast was made possible by MyFirstSale.com, a marketplace and community of kid entrepreneurs who are on a mission to change the world. If you want to empower your kids to take on the real world and make hundreds of dollars in their first small business, head over and check out MyFirstSale.com and join the community today. Okay, folks, we have a simple memory trick for you to make sure today's lessons stick deep down in your mind. It's called FAT, F-A-T. Yeah, I said it, FAT. Follow, act, and tell. So follow, the F is for follow us. We'd love for you to subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, or head over to myfirstsale.com/podcast and don't miss out on any future episodes. The A is for act. Take the next step today to be a kid entrepreneur. Head over to myfirstsale.com if you want to learn more about launching your own business as a kid. Join the community of other kid entrepreneurs around the world. And we have weekly videos on grit, delayed gratification, investing, budgeting, and more. And we even have 150 free kid business ideas for you to get the wheels spinning. And then the last part of FAT is T, tell someone. We would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes of your biggest lesson learned, or even simply post this podcast to your Facebook or Twitter and let us know the biggest lesson that you learned to your family and friends. That's it. We'll see you guys next time on Young Grit.